Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 1320 WILS, the Ebling and You program, and I'm Russ White sitting in for Jack Ebling this evening. And happy to welcome friend and mentor Gary Reed to the program. Gary, good to see you as always.
Russ, thank you. And it's good to actually hear you on the radio making a real living.
Hey, watch it. But Gary is a Hall of Fame broadcaster from Michigan State University who, pun intended, has impacted many lives and careers in this business over the years. And any of you joining in on our conversation or listening to us on the radio, unless you're listening on the web later, we don't need to get into that. But I'm always fascinated, Gary, and you know better than most. We hear about all the new technology and iPods are everywhere. But what's kind of the state of this medium radio that we love so much? Let's maybe, in whichever order you want, sort of just take financially as a business and then technologically where it's going.
Well, I guess, Russ, a way to think about it, we've got about 14,000 radio stations in the country. And, you know, I listened to you earlier, and Scott was talking about, you know, the local media. And then John was on, and he was talking about, you know, connecting here in Michigan. One of the things that I think is really valuable to bring out is that radio is indeed local. It's live in this particular case, and WILS is doing a great job here being live for the Lansing area. It is the first place that you go if you've got weather problems, you know, if we're going to get a tornado or a flood or something like that. So radio has a very, very positive impact on the community. Across the country, figures range anywhere from at least 85% up to 94% of everyone in the United States listens to radio every week. So it's a huge mass medium that's really important. You mentioned iPods. Most people think, well, you know, gosh, I don't listen to the radio anymore. I've got music on my iPod and that's all I need. Not really. Radio has become a fabric of our life. Radio is not a luxury anymore. It's something that we expect. And as we see technologies change, you know, John on his segment talked about Twitter and that component, and Scott's talking about Facebook, and we talk LinkedIn and all this computer space. It's great. It's great. It's additive. But radio is still the core and what really makes something local.
And what about satellite radio? Is it muddling along? Is that going to survive in the long run?
Well, you know, originally satellite radio was approved by the FCC way back in the early 1990s, 1992. And it took really the better part of the 90s before we got the satellites up there. There was an enormous cost to put the satellites up. In fact, both of the companies then, XM and Sirius, both bid over $80 million just to get access to the frequencies. They found that the subscription service, ranging from about $10 to about $13 a month, just wasn't going to go. And one of the problems that they ran into was that at least XM in particular really built their model on listening in cars. And as we know, we've been through a kind of a tough time in the auto industry, and people buying fewer cars, you're hearing less in radios, you know, and so on. And so the satellite companies several years in 08 merged together. Sirius bought out XM, and so there's no longer any competition. But both of the systems are incompatible with one another. So if you've got a Sirius radio, you can't receive, you know, the XM signals and so on. And so they're in a point now where they're selling a package. You get the best of both in terms of programming, and it's going to cost you somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, $15-16 a month, something like that. Many people really like that, particularly in the area of sports. You know, Scott, our sports person and engineer here, is big into sports, and boy, that's great on a national basis. But one of the things that satellites have a hard time doing, you know, is, again, filling in and talking about, you know, Everett sports. We're sitting right next to Everett High School. And, you know, you're not going to hear that on satellite.
And Gary Reed, what about HD radio? Your Impact Radio at MSU was among the first couple hundred stations in the country, college or otherwise, to go digital. What is HD radio, and is that ever really going to take hold?
Boy, good question. I know what it is, and whether it's going to take hold, I can't tell you, Russ. The idea here is that what you're listening to us now on is analog radio, 1320. It's the way it's been for 80-plus years. It's existing technology. We know how to use it. It works. Everybody's radio picks it up. There is a new system that is called HD radio, high-definition radio, and it basically puts a digital signal alongside the analog signal so that a radio station, in the case of us over at Michigan State, WDBM, we have an HD1 and then an HD2 signal. So it allows us to put extra programming on, but you have to have a new radio. You have to go out and buy a new digital radio to be able to pick that up. It's moving slowly. Right now, again, 14,000 radio stations in the country, only a couple thousand have configured to broadcast digitally. And again, with an economic downturn, I have to be honest, you know, you got a lot to spend your money on. Buying a new digital radio is probably not on the top of
and it's
priorities.
Been a while since I've asked you, but when I have asked you, is there even a decent HD radio you'd recommend buying? You haven't said there was. Are there now decent ones?
Oh, sure, sure.
And are they hundreds of dollars, though, or are they reasonable?
You've got a couple of options. Where we're starting to see a lot of it come up is in new cars that are coming up, and they simply add a chip into your existing radio. So most all of the major manufacturers are able to put that new chip in and be able to pick that up. There are several that Radiosity, for example, makes a really good home unit that is really nice. They're very specific to HD. And there's some neat things. The quality is better. It adds data so that you've got what they call PAD data or program associated data. You can see the name of the song and the artist and also ancillary information, tidbits, little facts that could come in. There's options for advertising. But again, in this particular time, it's going to be a while before we really really flesh that out.
And what about, I've heard you talk about Wi-Fi radio. What is that, and is that part of our future too?
Well, with the Obama administration coming in, one of the things that Julius Jankowski, the head of the FCC, has said, we really need to get the United States better web-enabled. And in many cases, web streaming, putting radio, putting this sort of audio programming on the web, makes an awful lot of sense. The business model, though, is a little bit different. When you think about it, a broadcast station like WILS, we're sitting in here, once you buy the transmitter and you buy all this stuff, there could be thousands, tens of thousands, hopefully hundreds of thousands of people listening to us right now. And it doesn't cost Mac, the owner here, any more money if one person listens or if a half million people listen. Web streaming, though, is different because as you get on a web stream, you have to pay for all of the bandwidth that's coming out from that station. So the business model is literally just upside down. So we have to think of a way to make web streaming economically viable. And the great thing about radio stations is that they're all about content. We're creating content on this station right now. And if we can figure out a really viable economic model for streaming, whether it's via the conventional internet or a Wi-Fi where before long, hopefully the entire country will have Wi-Fi signals that will be brought up along with our cell phones and all of our other web-enabled devices.
And Gary, I want to bring up the jewel that you run at Michigan State University. You mentioned WDBM, the impact. Every year is the state's best college radio station, one of the best in the country. Tell us a little bit about what you'd like people to know about the impact and how do you maintain that excellence when you have such turnover of students all the time?
Well, Russ, thanks for the plug.
And it's 88.9 FM or impact89fm.org. Scott Eckersley, of course, is a sportscaster there.
Yeah, and I have to say about Scott and the other people, those are the heart of that station. In years past, many of our students came in and they wanted to pursue careers in radio and television and so on. Over at Michigan State, we've got about 44,000 students, and any student who is motivated can find a way to come into this station and work. And that's the thing, I guess, that I'm most proud of, is that we give people who are motivated, talented, interested, Scott is a great example, that that opportunity to pursue their interests, their careers. A lot of people today, I have to be honest with you, don't want to go into radio any longer, but they have a passion for music. A lot of people are interested in photography, and they're working in photos on our Flickr site. We've got a bunch of people that are just interested in video, and they're doing videos of the bands that we have up on our YouTube site. So the media is changing. The students are changing. And to keep the impact relevant is the thing that we really try to do. From my perspective, giving a good opportunity for people to succeed is important. And so whether it's in radio or internet, whatever, that's what we're really trying
to do. It's really more appropriate then to call you Impact Media, maybe not Impact Radio.
Well, I think—
thousands of hits on your YouTube videos I've looked at.
Yeah, and I think that's important. In this particular world, we need, just like John talked about earlier with LinkedIn, and Scott was talking about Twitter and Facebook, we have to embrace the new technology and the new reality with the young adults that we have. And staying relevant is an important thing for that. And so it just makes sense to evolve. And I just want to make sure that we've got a student media operation over there that can evolve and can remain successful and relevant to not only the listeners. And the interesting thing, it may be college radio, but Arbitron, our radio ratings, tells us that the average age of our listener is 29.1 years old. And so if you do some quick math, in order to get to 29, you know that it's just not old guys like you and I
listening, right.
You know, to bring
and
that
I
up.
And I do listen all the time. I love it. Well, Gary, thanks so much for coming in visiting with us and talking about this great medium we love so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me in a stellar cast. And I know that Kirk Heinze is up, and I'm completely engaged in new things, which the greening of Michigan. So
absolutely.
I'm going to stick around and listen.
I'm glad. And Gary Reed is the, among other things, the president and professional general manager of Impact Radio at Michigan State University. Check it out at 88.9 FM. And I'm Russ White, sitting in for Jack Ebling on 1320 WILS. We'll continue in a moment.